Today it's a special treat for us because if you'll remember a few weeks ago when I was sharing my testimony, I shared that my first day in this particular church, they were having a revival, and the man who was speaking is the man we have with us today, and that is Jamie Regal. And so I know that God has a message for you today, and so join me as we welcome Jamie Regal this morning. Let's get him up here.
Welcome service in the early mass was nothing. Welcome Jamie Regal. There wasn't even a burp. There wasn't a clap. There wasn't a sneeze. Nobody fainted. I mean, nothing. I'm glad to see you all. I'm glad to be anywhere. I rededicated my life while driving here this morning. I got up this morning at 4 o'clock. I left my house about 5. I live in Cincinnati. But, you know, the All-Star game is there. And so traffic has been already a nightmare. People partying last night, interstates littered with cars. I was glad to be able to pull mine out of a ditch. But anyway, no. I remember, it was raining pitchforks. And right there at the split, where 75 goes to Lexington, 71 goes to Louisville, it rained so hard I pulled over, and I watched this guy, and he slides from one side of the interstate almost to the other, and I thought, you know, that could have been me. That could have been me. I wear a bracelet, you're going to hear about it, but it says, you are only one choice away from a different life. One choice. One moment. Life could be different. I thought about today. And, I, as a pastor, I had a lady in my church in Tampa every Sunday. Pastor, you know what I don't like? Yeah. Pastor, you know what makes me mad? Yes. Pastor, do you know what I'm sick of? Uh-huh. Pastor, you know I've just about had it. And you know what it is? Yes. Do you know what makes me mad? Yes. Everything. You're going to hate heaven because you're not going to have anything to complain about. Then I thought, maybe she's not going. Because she's argumentative. She asked me once, she said, where'd Cain get his wife? I said, well, you know, Adam and Eve had other children. The only way to propagate the human race was intermarriage, so Cain probably married his sister. That's probably biblical. She said, huh, do you know that for sure? I said, no. I said, we might have to wait till we get to heaven so you can ask Cain. She said, what if Cain don't go to heaven? I said, then I'll let you ask him. Sometimes you have to help people. I love to laugh. I love to make myself. Do you ever make yourself, when you're old, every day is a new day, isn't it? Something has slid or fallen off. I'm on a new diet now. It's called the mirror diet. It's where you eat all your food completely naked in front of a mirror. And it'll curb your appetite. But they don't like it at the Cracker Barrel. You can get in real trouble for that. But I'm honored to be here. I remember this church. I love you, most of you. There's a couple of you I'm not over the top about. A Jim Williams guy. I don't know about him. Jim was one of my youth in Cincinnati, and it's just an honor to see you again, Jim. I'm glad that you're still loving and serving the Lord. If you have a Bible, I promise I won't be long or boring because I've been in those services. I was actually the one preaching. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Deuteronomy.
So you mean that, Edna's got one of them new Bibles.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book of the Pentateuch. So this morning, in all seriousness, I'm driving here praying, and I thought, yesterday, I got to talk to my dad and my mom. I got to talk to my daughters. I saw all my grandkids. I didn't go to bed hungry. My place was warm, and I was blessed. I thought, sometimes we really don't realize what we have. Do you know if you can still talk to your dad, that's a big deal. If you're still able to hug your mom. Now, my dad still wears Old Spice. I had a guy ask me this morning, what's wrong with that? I wear it. Yeah. That's why you're alone. And my mother wears Avon Moonwind. I bought Dad some Polo Black. He said, I ain't wearing that. That smells like a woman. No, Dad, you have one sniff. But you know what? As I hold him, I don't want to smell anything but Old Spice. As I hold Mom, I don't want to smell anything but Avon. And I thought, what a blessed man I am. Dad asked me to sing for him all the time, and it's not always gospel songs. He wants me to sing, He Stopped Loving Her Today. He wanted me to sing, Come On Over Baby, We Got Chicken in the Barn. He said, I like that song about Carolina. Can you sing that? Which one, Dad? In my mind, I'm going to Carolina. Can't you see the sun shining? Can't you just feel the moon shining? Maybe just like a friend.
Is that a gospel song?
No, it's not. Don't you like it? I'm tired of people who are against everything, huh? I had a man in my church. He said, listen, you need to know this, Pastor. I'm praying about leaving. I said, great. That makes two of us. I've been praying you'd leave too, brother. Hit the road, dude. We need the space. I don't want you here if you don't want to be here. Listen, if your church is not right, what are you doing there? It's like going to a bad restaurant.
Mildred, I hate this place, but let's go there again if you don't mind.
I came across this passage of Scripture. It's forever. It's changed my life. And I've been preaching for, Jim, almost 40 years now. Deuteronomy 30 embraces what I believe is something that we all need to see. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, chapter 30, verse 19. Today, I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now, I don't need to exegete that, do I? God says you can live, you can die, you can be blessed, or you can be cursed. Who wouldn't take life over death? Who wouldn't take blessings over curses? Now look what he says. I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Folks, you want to know why some of your lives will never change? Because you can't change what you won't acknowledge. It's always somebody else's fault. I'm 6'3", 300, none of your business. Big people like me, here's what they say. Yeah. Hi, I'm Bob, and I'm overweight, and it's not what I'm eating. It's what's eating me. No. You like pie. And you're never going to be different. It's like the doctor tells me the other day, and I don't care. When you're my age, every time you go to the doctor, even when I go to the dentist, I've got my tooth hurts. Pull your pants down. I had a test the other day that had the word oscopy in it. If you're having one of those, it's going to be a bad day. They gave me a couple of little pills the night before and a jug of powder that I mixed with water called Go Lightly. That's a lie. By the time I got there, I needed it. I needed a doctor. If you go to the doctor and there's a garden hose and an air compressor and a searchlight, it's going to be a bad day. He says, we need to make sure we have a clear field of vision. I said, you've got a clear field of vision. Well, we just want to be sure. So he gave me, you know, hot soapy water about 150 miles an hour. Figure that one out. He said, now you're going to have to hold this. Yeah. You're going to have to go to maintenance to get a C-clamp if you want that to happen. God says, I want you to understand, folks, a lot of us are where we are not because we had bad parents, that's what you love to use. Listen, folks, there are a lot of people who had bad parents that don't rob banks. I've never been tased. Never been tased. Have you ever been pulled over? Sure. You know what I do when the cops say pull over? I pull over. Don't want to get tased? Don't break the law. Don't want to go to jail? Don't break the law.
These living conditions here in this cell is nasty. There's bugs in here. It's a nasty place.
Hey, you should have thought about that before you raped that 12-year-old girl, pal. Folks, there's consequences with decisions we make. You're a choice away from a blessed life. You're a choice away from a life of catastrophe. I'm by myself now. I never thought I'd be divorced. I live in the basement. I do. I bought a little home in Cincinnati. I got $61 in my checking account right now. Imagine that. White Castle, here we come. My kids live upstairs. I rent it out to them. It's kind of cool. I have a German Shepherd. He's an atheist. Do you know what I say today I would have never said 10 years ago? I'd rather be alone and happy than unhealthy with someone. I'd rather be from a broken home than in a broken home. I'd rather spend 10 fewer years with the right person than 10 too many with the wrong. And you know what, folks? Our life is about choices. Our life is about choosing life or choosing death or choosing this path. My dad, who's 80 years old, still drives a school bus.
Yep.
I asked him, I said, Dad, why do you still drive? He said, $25.50 an hour. Are you kidding me? He makes $25.50 an hour. I can't believe. Then I met the kids he rides around with. They're like children of the corn meet Damien. Are there any school teachers here? School teachers. Raise your hand. Oh, really? My school teacher looked like you. I don't went to class. Mine all looked like me, and they were women. I had some creepy teachers.
Hello. I'm Miss Brash.
You have a mole the size of an oatmeal pie on your face. Or breath. I don't know. Why do people with the worst breath always have a secret?
Hi.
Not yet. But to me, teachers are heroes. They're absolutely. I wouldn't make it. I'd be a teacher one day, and I would lose my job.
Man, you told me to sit down, man. You ain't my mom. I ain't sitting down, Holmes.
Oh, really? You have the right to remain unconscious. Lay there and take you some deep breaths. Got to thinking about this, folks, and here's what the scripture says. It even enhances. It doesn't embellish, but it fortifies. Look at verse 20. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him, and committing yourself firmly to Him. This is the key to your life. I love that. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, money can buy you a bed, but it can't buy you sleep. It can buy you a watch, but it can't buy you time. My dad says, and you know, the older I get, the smarter my dad is. Dad says to me, son, we spend our health gaining wealth. What we do. He said, then at the end of our life, we spend all of our wealth trying to get back our health. Dad says, no one has ever become poor by giving. I have, and I was mentioning in the, I have these, I sell these for $5. Somebody told me the other day, said, really, $5? You don't pay $5 for them. No, I don't. But if I sell 10 of them, that's $50. Tell you what, I do buy for $50. I buy a water filter now. a water filter the size of a can of Coke that we send to the mission field with a drill, surgical tubing, gasket, same technology used in wastewater treatment and kidney dialysis. A filter the size of a Coke can that purifies 100 gallons of water a day for 10 years. $50. And a syringe, you have to back flush it about once a week. My daughter's a hairdresser in Cincinnati. She works at kind of an upscale salon called Aveda. It's a pretty renowned brand of products. They're pretty expensive. She said, "Dad, we have ladies, gentlemen that get their feet done that pay $50 for a pedicure." See, when you, I promise you, at 58, I've not lived every day of my life at the foot of the cross. I've made some choices I wish I'd never made. Done things I wish I could take back. But you know, at 58, I'm not worried about failing as much as I am in succeeding in something that won't matter. You know what Dad told me today? I'll never forget it. Never. There's no honor in being the richest man in the cemetery. There are people here, you've got money you couldn't spend. I listened to Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks, somebody asked him, I thought it was tacky. But somebody asked Garth Brooks kind of this question. How much money do you have, or how much money do you make? Do you know what he said? He said, "Let's put it this way. My grandchildren's grandchildren couldn't spend what I have." I was listening to Donald Trump talk the other day, and do you know, the man has made maybe billions. Money upon money upon money upon money. And I got to thinking about this, folks. Folks, you've never given in your life till you've given to somebody you know can't ever pay you back. That's giving. And if you give, you better be willing to lose what you give, because most people who borrow, they're not paying you back. Don't lend what you're not willing to lose. It's true. And you know what, folks? We have one life. It's short. James asks a question. What is your life? Well, the King James Bible says your life is a vapor. The New Living Translation says it's like the morning fog. You're here for a little while and then you're gone. I had my 40th year high school reunion. You ought to see the homecoming queen. Whew, Jesus help us. I went back to the Garth Brooks song, "Sometimes I Thank God for Unanswered Prayers." Oh, Heavenly Father. She got a tattoo in high school. Oh, my back's hurting. Sorry. She got a tattoo of a butterfly in the small of her back. You ought to see it now. It looks like a pterodactyl with a broken wing. You got to think through those things. Do you know what? I was looking around the other day at this church I was at, and the pastor was so engaging. He was a precious man. I was listening to him. He was teaching in Sunday school. He asked me to speak for the morning worship. He said, "But we're in a series in Sunday school. Would you be opposed?" What do you mean, am I opposed? You're the pastor. I do what you say. You don't. I'd love to hear you preach, though, because I don't get to hear a whole lot. So I'm listening to him preach. He's so engaging. He's so kind. He's very smart. Just about everybody's laughing and chuckling. And I'm looking around, and I see four or five people that wouldn't smile if you tickled them. And I thought, you know, if everybody in the building around you is laughing, but you're not, maybe I've got the problem. But then I also thought, you may have no idea what that person's going through. My friend Malachi Wagers, I can't tell you the amount of work he's done for me in the past. When I had a home in Springdale or wherever, he would be, he did my painting, he did carpeting, he built a deck for me. Do you know what happened this week in Walton, Verona? You know where that's at? Up near Cincinnati. His 14-year-old son was walking near his house, had his earphones in, near the railroad tracks. He's done it 1,000 times. Matter of fact, you know what they said? They can't hardly ever remember a train. and his 14-year-old son was killed. They saw his body on the tracks from their house. I did a funeral last month of a 14-year-old boy who went into the garage and he threw a rope over the rafters, tied it around his neck, took his dad's knife and cut his wrists, and jumped off the washer and dryer, and he left a little note that said, "Maybe you can't understand the overkill, no pun intended," he said. "Why would I tie a rope around my neck and then slice my wrist? I want to make sure that if I'm found before I die, no one can ever bring me back to this place where there's so little love." You know what's ironic? It was a Sunday afternoon and he had just left church. Folks, lost people. People without Christ. People. One of the ladies in my church, she said, "Do you mind if I come down here? I like it down here better." She said, "You know, Jamie, we have some prostitutes visiting our church this morning." I said, "We do?" She said, "Yeah. I mean, they're right here, right now, live prostitutes." I said, "Well, wait to hear this. I invited them. I love prostitutes. You want to know why?" "Because he does. It's somebody's daughter. I have three daughters. I'd rather my prostitute daughter be in church. Hello?" But the unfortunate thing is, most of the time, if somebody walks in our church and they don't look like us, do you know what the Grammy Awards are? Do you know what the Dove Awards are? I sang with a Southern Gospel group for many, many years, and we have what's called the Dove Awards. And they're Christian music's version of the Grammys. And so I go every year. And our group was nominated several times. I'm sitting there. This is the year. I'll tell you when it was. This is the year the flooding in Nashville just about destroyed much of that city. And I'm there at the Dove Awards, and four rows back, here's Jeff and Sherry Easter and great friends of mine, the Perrys, right here. And over here's Franklin Graham and Chris Tomlin. Right in front of me is Phillips, Craig, and Dean. I'm in the fourth row with my friends. And right here is this dude with 8 ponytails and tattoos all over his face and earrings and body rings and piercings. And everybody that's singing, it could be a Southern gospel song, it could be a praise and worship song. I'll never forget Carrie Jobe sang that night, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty." And he's just crying. Brian Welch. Korn. The guy from Korn. Single parent. Brian Welch, single parent, listening to his 5-year-old daughter sing a song called Adidas, which is an acronym for "All Day I Dream About Sex." He heard his girl singing that song, heartbreaks, falls on his knees and says, "God, I don't want that. And I don't want to be on drugs, and God, I need your help. God, if you could find in your mercy and grace to save me." Our churches are missing it because we still want to remind him he don't look like us. A 14-year-old girl who comes to church doesn't need to be constantly reminded of what a bad girl she is. She, no matter how deep you stay in your sin, you still have a future with God. You can change your life. One choice away from a different life. He is discussing a failure of style. He's saying he's so eager. He's already hurt. Thinking about, if I was a woman, I'd be an ugly woman. She wouldn't punch me but once. This must be. I probably don't need it. You wouldn't hit me but one time. And by the way, you can listen and learn, or you can live and learn, but I'm telling you, if he hits you one time, he will hit you again. Not if, but when. And she's telling me, "Well, he does this and he..."
Don't complain about what you permit. If you allow it to happen, don't complain about it.
there's people here today, the world has beat them up. Man, if they come to church and it's like complain and gripe and mad and hate and I got to hear, you know. Listen, I don't know about you, but by the time I get to church on Sunday, I need it. For real. I need to hear what can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know what, folks? I'm not interested. I'm not worried about failing so much at 58. But I am worried about succeeding at something that might not matter. A $50 water filter? Somebody says, I don't have $50. You got five? You buy one, that means I sell nine more, and I buy a filter. I had a man say the other day, principal of school, he said, the most powerful message, I want one for every student. I said, I'm not going to charge you $5. He said, I'm paying you $5. I said, you got 1,000 students. He said, exactly. You'll have a check for $5,000 tonight. We want to send some of those water filters. You know what, folks, at the end of your life, or wherever you are in this journey, there comes a time in your life, and I mentioned this, listen to this. There's a lady. Picture the word Bonnie, B-O-N-N-I-E. Her name is not Bonnie. Put an R after the B. Her name is Bronnie, B-R-O-N-N-I-E. She's from Australia. And she's a nurse, and she specializes in palliative care. You know what palliative care is? It's like hospice. End of life. She is with people in the last moments of their life. She hugs them. She holds them. She sings to them. She reads to them. Sometimes she'll lay in the bed and just hold it because they're afraid. She began to write down. She wrote down, Pastor, the top five regrets of the dying. People dying. Here's what they said. I wish I'd have lived a life true to myself. Not the life that everybody expected of me. Biggest regret of men, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Starts cutting off skin. I'm trying to cover. I'm self-conscious. Burn stuff off my neck, on my head. What? Are you kidding? He says, no, you get them in your hair. Skin cancer. See, I'm a little concerned about this. Oh, thanks, man. That's great. I'm concerned that you're going to get paid. May not get it all. Anyway, he says, and I'm listening to him. He says, give me a number five blade. We're just going to punch this one off and give me some of that nitrogen. And I'm here. You're going to feel a little pinch. That is such a lie. It was a harpoon. He stuck it under me. He speared me. He poked me, and I don't like him for that. I want the gas from the dentist office for every visit. That's the best stuff. That's mean people gas. I love it. You know what I don't like here?
Ooh, let's just forget about it.
Do you wish you could just spray that indiscriminately on people? Wouldn't that be great? So, he's pulling these off, cutting them off, chopping them off. He says, now come back in 2 weeks to have the stitches taken out. You know what I just remembered? I got this done in Virginia. I'm not going to be in Virginia. 2 weeks? What am I going to do now? I'm not paying $80 to have somebody go. But I'm not going to try to do it myself because if I do, watch it, my whole arm will fall off. But I got to thinking, these old bodies, they wear out. Do you ever look at yourself in the mirror and go, seriously? Things are falling off. You ever heard of a tank top? Here's my thoughts on tank tops. If you look like a tank, you don't wear those tops. Are any of you guys married yet? It's five of you, right? none of you are married. Want some advice? Before you ever get married, you need to answer this question. Do I want to be right? Or do I want to be happy? Because you can't have both. Put that pipe and smoke it. I had a lady, she got mad at that. Imagine that. She got a little huffy. Came out to my damn scar, my back is jacked. Came out to my tape table. She says, if I were your wife, and I thought, it's not a chance. I'd rather be trapped in a steam room with the village people. I didn't tell her that. That's funny. I don't care what anybody thinks. That's funny. She said, if I were your wife, I'd put poison in your coffee. I said, if I was your husband, I'd drink it. Sometimes you have to help people along the way. And by the way, folks, you know what I've learned? You get what you come for. I'm tired of people who come to church to get offended. Come to get a blessing. Great peace of they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Oh, did you know that's the Bible? Great peace of they that love thy law, and nothing. So if you're ticked off all the time, and you know life's too short, Dr. Falwell used to tell me, I'm not going to die on that mountain. I'm not going to die on that mountain. Somebody doesn't like you. Somebody said this. You know what, folks? That's unfortunately, it's part of life. Not everybody's going to like me. But I thought about this morning. I was very tired driving here. And I got to drive back. That's a blessing. And, you know, there's going to be traffic. The All-Star Game's up there this week. People are already there partying down. So I'm going to drive back to Cincinnati today just as soon as I'm done here. Do you know what, folks? I love being here. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I don't have to tithe. I get to tithe. It's a blessing. It's like these kids. They were laughing. They were smiling, them little boys. Jim used to do that when he was a teenager. You know what? He did. Yeah, he did. You know what? I was thinking about this, Jim. I've always tried to make church enjoyable for young people. I don't want them to talk about how much they hate church. But in the process, folks, I'm not going to dip my colors. I don't care. Listen, if you have a son that's gay, that's not going to keep me from telling you it's still a sin. That doesn't mean you... And here's where we mess up. Folks, you can love people and not love what they do. One of my dearest friends in the world is gay. I mean, not he'd make Richard Simmons look like a lumberjack. He's not gay. He's flaming. But you know what? God's desire for your life is not that you be heterosexual. Are you listening? God's desire for your life is that you be holy. And I would detail that a little more if we didn't have little ones. But just for the record, he says, so what am I supposed to do? Spend my whole life without? Absolutely. You live the crucified life. You do what Paul did. I die daily. You want what's fair? Because if I get fair, I get hell. You know another regret? I wish I would have stayed in touch with my friends. A lot of people don't realize till they're dying that having friends is a cool thing. A noted sociologist said, though, you make about 20,000 acquaintances in the course of your life, but if at the end of your life you have 5 true friends, you're really, really, really fortunate. Do you have 5 true friends? Do you have 5 true friends that you could say anything to? Listen, and a true friend, I think, is a person who can know the absolute worst about you and still love you. That don't mean they approve of it, right? But they still love you. If I ever pastor another church, I'm going to have a big sign in our front yard that says, this is perfect place for people who aren't. Come on, come on. You're not going to be lied to. You may not like everything you hear. I have a daughter that's dying. Pastor, you know the story. I have three daughters. I have a daughter, Heather. She's 34. She's the mother of two of my grandchildren. Then I have a daughter. I have two daughters, Heidi and Holly. They're twins. They're 29. Heidi's a hairdresser up in Cincinnati. Heather lives in Florence, Kentucky. She's a graduate of Indiana Wesleyan University and the University of Kentucky. And she has a job in management. Heidi's twin sister, Holly, she had an aneurysm when she was a month old. She's profoundly brain injured. She doesn't walk. She doesn't talk. She doesn't speak. She's fed through a tube twice a day. She has a catheter. She's like this. She can't see. She's a living dead person. She lives in a nursing home in Waynesville, Ohio. And every time I see her, I wonder what people without the Lord do. I don't know who's going to help play this morning, Pastor. Who's going to play the keyboard, brother? Hey, will you play the keyboard? Oh, play something? Sure, come on. Will you do it now? Whatever it is you want to play, brother. Whole lot of shaking going on. As our brother plays, I want you to look this way for a minute. I want you to think about this. So, if this were the last day of your life, if this were the last day of your life, would you want to spend it doing what you've already done and what you're going to do? Do you know what? A lot of people don't know. I was telling Pastor this morning. If you're a member of the clergy, you're a clergyman. Cincinnati Reds give you a clergy pass where you can go. They will give you the best ticket available that day for all the Reds games you want to go to. Absolutely free. You know, I'm alone now. That's a big deal. I like to go watch the Reds play. I have a pastor friend. He's single too. Sometimes we go together. And do you know, it's amazing how good the Reds have been to us preachers. They look for the best seats they can give us. They do. And I've had seats. I had seats the other night. They were called scout seats. Undercover. Only three of them. That's what I heard. The guy that owns those seats then offered $2,000 a seat for the All-Star game. I wouldn't have had to pray about that 1 minute. I'd have done it for $1,000 a seat. But I'm sitting there in those seats realizing how much it costs, and I'm watching the Reds play. Of course, they're getting beat. But I'm this close to those guys. Watching the game. And you want to know why? Because somebody did it for me. And then I think, what a dirty, rotten scoundrel I've been and you've been. But what Christ has done for us. I went to visit a boy. I'll tell you the story. His mother says to me, "My son thinks you're Elvis." I chuckled. She said, "No, he loves you. He's got every DVD you've ever made. Driving the nurses crazy because they listen to you 7 days a week, 20. And when she said that, I thought, this boy's in a hospital. Long story short, I went that night to visit that boy, and I walked in, and he's just like Holly, except he can hear, he can see, and he understands completely. He can't talk, but when I walked in, he began to smile. And he's out of his mind. I said, "I came to bring you a couple of new DVDs because you're driving these girls crazy." We spent an hour. It was as cool as the other side of the pillow. Oh boy, just having the best time. Hour had come and gone. I said, "I got to go." And he started cutting a big caper. And I thought, what have I done? Did I hurt his feelings? I hope not. I looked at his mom and I said, she said, oh, it's, he hates to see you go. But you didn't say anything about his picture. Well, I noticed it when I came in. He had over his bed a picture of him in his, he was wearing like a tuxedo, you know, a tux like you wear at a wedding. So he was either going to the prom or he was going to a senior dance or something. He had his best Sunday best on. And under that picture of him dressed in this formal was a little plaque. And it had two arrows, one pointing up at the picture and one pointing at the hospital. And it said, take a look at me. Aren't I the sharp-dressed man? Arrow pointing up at the picture. Then it said, take a look below. This is what happens when you drink and drive. You are only one choice away from a different life. Before you ever drink, you need to think about it. Before you ever decide to have sex, before you're married, and then what? Well, we're having sex, and then what? You know, you could get pregnant. You want to hear the statistics? You want to hear them? More than 90% of all girls who get pregnant before they're married never receive one dime of help from the boy who loves her so much. Want to find out whether he loves you? Tell him the sex is over. See how long he stays with you. I can already give you the answer. Love can wait, but lust can't. Love can wait, but lust can't. And let me ask you, for real, everybody here, do you ever get tired of being cranky? Do you ever get tired of being bitter? Do you ever get tired of being skeptical? I mean, do you ever get tired of not... Listen, if you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you got. At some point in your life, you have to say, you know what? I got to take on... I'm one choice away from a different life. I mentioned this morning... Here, Pastor was telling me. I mentioned this morning... Pastor says, Jamie was preaching the day I settled the issue of salvation. I know what I said that day. He reminded me. You want to hear it? This made him rethink everything. If you're 99% sure that you're saved, you might be 100% lost. I believe if you're saved, you can know it. And I believe if you're saved, other people are going to know it. One lady says to me, what if I get saved and I'm already saved? I said, well, you can't do that. But if you could, I'd rather be saved twice than lost once. I'd rather know that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know, that I'm saved. And listen, folks, We were talking about theology this morning. You can talk of theology all you want. Louisville is known for a hotbed of hyper-Calvinism. Basically, God says you get to go and you don't, you get to. And listen, I don't know where you fall on that. You know what? At the end of the day, I'm going to keep telling people about Jesus. Does God know everybody who's going to be saved? Absolutely. Do I? Not at all. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to keep telling people how they can know a God who can change their life. And you're one choice away from a different life. One choice away. When you like to let God make you different. I've lost 17 pounds. For me, that's like throwing a deck chair off the Titanic. Somebody says, how are you doing? I'm starving to death. What do you eat? Absolutely nothing. I'm hungry right now. I was hungry at 4 o'clock this morning, and I found some Tic Tacs. I ate them all. Didn't fill me up, but I had great breath at 4 o'clock in the morning. I tell you that. What are you going to have today? Something like lettuce. Well, why are you going to do that? Well, because I made this choice. I can't blame my parents. You understand? Somebody said, well, you ought to start running. You run. I've got a car. I ain't running unless somebody's chasing me with a clown mask and a bloody knife. I ain't running. Like the doctor told me the other day, hop up here. What did you just say? Hop. You're crazy as a loon, man. I'm glad to see you laugh. I love you and I like you. And God can change your life. Jeff, let him. You guys pray. Will you bow your head with me? I want to ask you a question. How many friends today would just hold up your hand and say, hey, Jamie, I don't know about anybody else, but I needed what I heard today. I'm glad I was here. God spoke to my heart. I needed to laugh a little bit, to be honest with you. I needed to smile. I was convicted. I was encouraged. I was challenged. I was motivated. I got a little reality check. I wonder how many friends would just take your hand, high as you can. I don't know who else needed today, but I sure needed it. God spoke to my heart. Would you take your hand, high as you can, hold it up, just as high as you can. God love you, friends. God love you. You can put your hands down. How many friends today would just say, pray for me? And listen, it ain't none of my business unless you make it my business. But how many of you just hold up your hand and say, I admit, I acknowledge, I need prayer. Pray for me. Would you hold up your hand? I can. There's more hands than I can call out. Just all over the place. Pray for me. How many of you hold up your hand and pray for me? God loves you. You can put your hands down. Would everybody who raised their hand look this way? Just if you raised your hand. I don't know how they do it everywhere. But I was raised in a church where we had public invitations. You want to know why? Because every person Jesus called, he called publicly. The easiest place to make a public decision for Jesus is in church. Because you're with God's people. So if you can't make a public decision in the easiest arena there is to make one, you sure won't stand your ground when you live out there. But I want to ask you to do something. Do you mind this? If you raised your hand and said, pray for me, I would be honored to pray for you. Now, you may not be able to kneel. That's okay. But if you raised your hand and said, pray for me, I don't care if 200 of you come. I want you to leave your space right now. I don't want you to wait and see who else comes. And I want you to come and stand all along. I want to pray for you. Come on. And I'm going to pray for you corporately. Come as close as you can. Come right in front of me. I want to see you. Maybe you're here today and you're one of those people, you don't smile a lot, but maybe no one has any idea what's going on in your life. I bet you Malachi Wagers is not smiling very much. His 14-year-old son was the one that got hit by the I'd be crying forever. Some of you right here this week, you've had news, you've lost your job. Some of you, got bad news this week or this month at the doctor. Some of you know that your marriage is just about over. Two strangers living under the same roof. There might be somebody here today that doesn't know they're saved. There might be somebody here today, you've never settled that question once and for all. If you know that you're saved, you may have never done that. So I'd like to pray for you all, if you don't mind. If you're here today and you don't know that you're saved, in the best way you know how, let's close our eyes. In the best way you know how, tell God you're sorry. Tell Him you know that He died. I know that you paid for that. I'm sorry for what I've done. I know I can't save myself. But I know you can. Confess it with your mouth. I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself, but I put my faith in you. I put my trust in you. Save me. You may be here today and your heart's broken. You may be here today going through dark valley. Would you let me pray for all of you right now? Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, I pray. God, there are so many today who have needs that we don't even know. God, today I pray your hand of blessing. Spirit of the living God, that you would do what we can't even imagine. God, I pray you'll touch lives. God, I pray that you'll give grace where it's needed. God, I pray that you'll provide healing. Spirit of the living God, I pray. God, I pray you'll touch homes and bless children. God, I pray that you'll help mom and dad speak life into their children. Speak blessing into their lives. God, I pray today that your Holy Spirit would bless Ballardsville Baptist Church. God, I pray that she would be a lighthouse. God, that men and women would know when I walk in here, I'm going to hear the word rightly divided. We're going to see people saved and lives changed. God, I thank you for the staff of this church. I pray your blessings upon them. God, I pray a hedge of protection. God, today, if you do anything for anybody, include me, Lord. I need forgiveness. I need encouragement. God, we're not without those things. God, bless these precious men and women today. And may they never forget, I am one choice away from a different life. May today be that day they make that choice. In Jesus' name I pray.